We need to get awakened once in a while. Amen?
Amen.
We go around saying praise the Lord quite a bit. I hear people say that all the time. Something happens and they say praise the Lord. But what does that mean? What does it really mean to say praise the Lord? In the Hebrew language, there are four Hebrew words for the word praise. We're only going to talk about a couple of them this morning. The first one is yada. You want to say that? Yada. What in the world does that mean? Well, in the Hebrew language, it means to give thanks. It means to speak well of God. What are some of the things that you can speak well of God about this morning? What?
The weather.
All right. We got one.
Our
life.
Our pastor.
All right. All right. Anybody else?
Salvation.
What?
Salvation.
Salvation. That's a big word, isn't it? Salvation. What's included in salvation? That's why we praise the Lord. Because of all that's included in salvation. Another Hebrew word is zamar. Try that one. Zamar. And what does it mean? It means to sing praises, as we did this morning. And to call attention to his glory. So it isn't just a matter of saying praise the Lord. It's a matter of speaking well of him, and it's a matter of singing his glory. Well, that's just two of the words. We'll talk about the other two later on. Back in 1988, a Polish railway worker named Jan Grabowski, took me a while to figure that one out, was hit by a train. It nearly killed him, but not quite. He went into a coma for 19 years. Remember, this was in Poland in 1988. When he awakened 19 years later, he was absolutely stunned. Because the Poland that he was in when the train hit him was under communism. And when you went to the store, about all you could get was vinegar. There was very little food available in the stores. Everything was pretty well dried up. The communists were in total control. 19 years later, when he awakened, he was absolutely stunned because you could go to a store and it had oodles of things that you could select from. The whole country was different. Communism had disappeared, and freedom existed in Poland at that time. There's some good and there's some bad about that. God said to the children of Israel, when you have nice homes to live in, when you go to the store and you can get a lot of food, when you have many, many, many blessings, when your crops produce beautifully, when you seem to have more than enough, that's when you forget God. Did you get that? That's when you forget God. And that's where we are in this nation. We have too much. Consequently, if you read the Facebook, not the Facebook, but internet at all, almost every day they have on internet 17 reasons why people are leaving the church. The next day, 13 reasons why people are leaving the church. The next day, 26 reasons why people are leaving the church. I think a part of it is because we have too much. We're coming up with an election that we better get our heads together on. I'm going to bring before the election another lecture on woke and CRT, because we need to know those things before the election. I can't tell you how to vote, but I'll be wearing a cap that lets you know. So, this morning we're going to look at Psalm 103. This is really a wonderful psalm, and it tells us some great and wonderful things about our Lord. And actually, the word praise the Lord in Psalm 103 is used exactly seven times. Seven is the number of perfection. And so when we read Psalm 103, I want you to know that we're reading something that is perfect, that God has given us perfection in Psalm 103. And we need to really pay attention to it, because we just don't want to go around saying praise the Lord. We want to speak well of him, and we want to sing praises to him. We want him to know that we really understand who and what he is. And Psalm 103 helps us understand that tremendously. So let's look at part of that scripture. Praise the Lord. By the way, Psalm 103 starts with praise the Lord, and it ends with praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Speak well of him. Speak well of his name. Speak well of who and what he is and what he does. And forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't be here today if it weren't for the fact that God forgives my sins. The scripture says, confess your sins to God, and he will forgive you and cleanse you and give you righteousness. I don't know about you, but that's really important to me. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Now, I know that people die, and I know that God doesn't heal everybody's disease, but he does some. And we praise the Lord for that. We speak well of him for that. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. How many of you feel like an eagle this morning? Well, I got three. What are the rest of you, drooping birds? Huh? It says, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Oh, I know, we're too old, right? That's what it is. But that's what the scripture says, and I happen to believe it. So I don't know what you feel like. I don't know if you feel like a crow, or if you feel like an eagle who has been revived. But I pray that it's the latter, that you are more like an eagle. David begins and ends the psalm, remember what I said, with praise the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Do you make it a priority in your life to praise the Lord? Do you make it a priority in your life to speak well of him? Do you make it a priority in your life to sing praises to him? And if you don't, then you need to start. One of the things that Gwen and I have done is memorized Psalm 103. Why? Because it's a way that we can praise the Lord the first thing in the morning. And we need to do that each and every day. We are to praise the Lord with our inmost being. It isn't just something that we utter, but with our inmost being, we praise him and worship him. With my whole heart, I will praise the Lord, is what the scripture is getting at. Oh, Lord, we need to ask that question, do I praise you adequately? I don't think we can ever praise the Lord adequately, but we should praise the Lord. Praise him. Speak well of him. Think of all the wonderful things that David mentions in this psalm. Forget none, not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins, not just a couple or a few, but all. Every sin that you have ever committed is covered in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean that we have license. It means that we should be grateful and make a huge effort to live a spiritual life. I know that we fail. We fail, we fail, we fail. And that's why the scripture says, and heals, who forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases, redeems your life from the pit, and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the old crow. You guys aren't paying much attention, are you? Huh? Psalm 103. What a beautiful psalm that is. Forgiveness of sin, heals diseases, redeems his life, our life from the pit, crowns us with love and compassion, and satisfies our desires with good things so that his youth is renewed like the eagles. Boy, that's a wonderful, powerful promise. We can lose a loved one, and that happens all the time. Our homes might be taken away from us. Our churches might fall and become flat. But what does the Lord do? He blesses us anyway. And that's why we need to really think in terms of praising the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger. Are you thankful for that?
Yes.
Amen. Abounding in love, he will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. There's a day coming, folks. There's a day coming when he's no longer the Lamb of God, but he's the Lion of God. And when that happens, he's not going to be this kind, gentle Jesus that we worship and sing praises about every Sunday and hopefully every day. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. Now that word fear doesn't mean I'm scared to death of God. It means that we have a healthy, healthy understanding of who God is. And we don't fear him as we usually think of this word fear, but it means a healthy respect for the Lord. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he renewed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west. If you travel north, you will come to Canada and eventually to the Arctic Circle and eventually to the North Pole, and that's where north ends. However, if you get on an airplane and fly to California and you go over the ocean and you're traveling west, you can travel west, 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 and never run out of west. So, he says, our sins are removed from us as far as the east is from the west. That's an immeasurable distance. And your sins are as though you never committed them. What a wonderful God we have. to forgive us of such transgressions and sins that we have committed in our lives. And now he forgives us as far as the east is from the west. Praise the Lord for his forgiveness. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. The Lion of Judah is coming. The Lion of Judah is coming. And you better be ready for that. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who trust him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Scientists keep telling us that the earth gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And I believe that. I believe what the scripture says about that. But it's a wonderful thing. For as high as the heavens are above the earth. I don't know how high that is, but it's a pretty good distance. So great is his love for those who fear him. How high? I don't know. Scientists say it's an immeasurable distance. And that's how his love is for us. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. My, we can't even comprehend that. But we need to be thankful for it, even though we don't understand it. I find it amazing how much David understands about all of this, because Christ had not died for us yet. And yet, David understood some things about the love and the forgiveness of God. In Romans 8:5-8, the scripture says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. David didn't know anything about that, but he understood the love of God in his time. And he understood what it was to have the love of God higher and higher and higher above the earth. So praise the Lord for that. You know, kids used to sing some good songs. I like what we did this morning, guys. You can do that again. Kids used to sing, "Gone, gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Buried in the deepest sea, that's good enough for me." But we seem like we can't get those kind of choruses over to our children. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Has the reality of that grabbed you by your heart? If you can't remember anything else, just remember, gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Buried in the deep blue sea. Never more to God to bother me. That's biblical, by the way. Wow. We sin every day. And every time we sin, we come out of fellowship with God. And what we need to do at that point is to get down on our knees, confess our sin, and ask him to restore our fellowship with him. But we fail in that respect. We just think, well, it's okay. He'll take care of it. But we need to acknowledge that we have sinned and that we need to renew our fellowship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Praise the Lord that he loves us like a father. As a father has compassion on his children, So the Lord has compassion on those who fear him, for he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. You think you're hot stuff? You're nothing but a fistful of dust. It used to be that your body was worth about $5. I think with inflation, it's probably worth about 10. That's it, baby. $10. As for man, his days are like grass. It flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it's gone. In my many years here at First Christian Church, I have done a lot of funerals. And you know, I can't remember the first funeral that I did. I can't remember the second funeral that I did. But I can go to my records and find out who they were. And my goodness, I've buried a lot of people. And you know how long that lasts? They die, they're buried, and their loved ones go on. They get over it. I'm wearing today the last shirt that my son-in-law purchased before he died. Every place he went, because he was one of those Harley motorcycle guys, to him, the only motorcycle that ever counted in this whole world was a Harley. And so every place they went, he bought a T-shirt. And this was the last shirt that he bought. I won't tell you what he paid for it. I would have never paid that much for it. But he died and was unable to wear it. And it's been about 2 months now since Rob passed away. And I just want you to know that Rob and Kathy love this congregation. I wanted to make him an honorary member, but he died first, and I'm still going to do that. And when Kathy comes in a few months, she wants to be baptized. So we'll take care of that too. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. God is a wonderful father. Not all of us have had earthly fathers who have been so wonderful. Some of us have had earthly fathers who had some problems. But God is a perfect father. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. So when you start thinking that you're really something, just remember that you're nothing but a fistful of dust. And that dust will, you'll return to dust one way or the other. You'll either be eaten by a shark or buried in a casket or cremated, which is the preferred way of taking care of a dead body these days. But remember, that's okay, because you're nothing but dust. And it would be discouraging if we did not know how valuable that dust is to the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for all the dust that we have done. Let everything praise the Lord. I like this passage of Scripture. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Sometimes it doesn't seem like it, but just remember, he's still in charge and he's still ruling. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all the heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord. How many times did I tell you praise the Lord was used in this psalm? Yeah. And it starts and ends with praise the Lord, oh my soul. Psalm 103, verses 19 through 22. I want to show you a few slides so that you understand how blessed you are. Gwen and I were in Sri Lanka about 2 years after the devastating tsunami. Killed thousands. I mean, literally killed thousands. And destroyed hundreds of thousands of homes. Left the whole country in deep, deep trouble. And it was during that time that the churches grew. Believe it or not. Why did they grow? Because the churches reached out to those who had been affected by the tsunami and helped them with food, and especially mothers with babies, giving them the necessities to raise their children in the Lord. And so those people came to the Lord, and boy, what a blessing that was. So I just want to show you how some people live in this world. This is where many of them wound up building a little shack out of cardboard or tin right next to the railroad track. What amazed me is how happy the children were. Lived in devastating situation, but the kids could find a way to have fun, and they did so. The adults tried everything they could to make a scant living, and some of them were successful, some were not. How would you like to live in a place like that? How would you like to raise your children in a place like that? These little huts that they lived in, hardly worth a few dollars. There's a lady with a child, and thank God the church reached out to her and helped her with the necessities for that little child. This was the pastor and his wife. They lived on almost nothing, but they didn't care because they knew that the Lord had called them to minister to these people, and they did a tremendous job of it, showing them that Jesus Christ loved them and cared for them. It looks like maybe they are doing well, but they weren't. As we talked to them, we found out that they lived on almost nothing, but their heart was for the Lord, and they reached out in the name of Jesus to the people living along the railroad tracks. I could show you a lot more situations about that, but I think you've seen enough to know that we are blessed. We aren't living along the railroad tracks. We aren't living in a cardboard house. We aren't living in something that is hardly worth the name house. But these people did that. And you know what? As we talked to them, we found out that they were happy in the terrible situation that they were in. And the children figured out ways to have fun. They didn't have any toys. They didn't open gift after gift after gift. They had nothing. So they figured out a way to have fun and creating a few things that they could use for playing. And they did so. So this morning, I just want you to understand how blessed you are. And when we talk about praising the Lord, that's what we want to do. And I'm going to ask Timothy and Cody to come back. And we're going to sing once again. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. That's our praise song this morning. That's our invitation. And goodness gracious, let's be standing. And if you've decided to follow Jesus and you haven't done so, don't be a chicken. Come forward. Let us know where you are and what you'd like to do with your relationship to the Lord. Let's sing together.
I've decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided.